Yo, welcome back to the Killer Podcast, Killer Sports Week Podcast. Today, host here, Killer, my main man,
Ground Jordan. Mess up the name to your own podcast?
I was excited to have you back, man. That's what happened.
I'm excited to be back.
Good for you, man. You missed me last week?
Yes, I miss you. I was working. I didn't just ignore you. I wasn't just like passed out on the couch eating Cheetos or something. I was working.
You were passed out on the couch, man. No. It was a good week, though. I miss having you here. I looked on. I was looking on every milk carton I could. That shows my age, right? Looking at milk cartons, but I know you were here in spirit because it was a good week.
Did you do well last weekend?
Yes, I did. I did. I gave a really good lineup. I'm just trying to find a clapping app, and I can't. But probably don't like that.
So maybe it's good luck when I'm not here.
No, it's not. I did bad last week. No, I did good. But it was tough. It's tough to do it by yourself, but still we did well. What do you think about that game last night, huh?
I did not catch the whole thing. Like I said before, that's probably not good considering we do this podcast. However, it is crazy that for about, 2.5 days, Carolina will be the best team in the NFL statistically because they have more wins than anybody else. So that makes them the best, worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, but I know. I was so, they had an 8.5-point spread. I was like, what? But I remembered Houston didn't have Tyrod Taylor in. Their defense isn't bad. The defense played okay, but I think, if you play a veteran quarterback, I know Houston had a nice drive at the end of the first half, and they were able to do whatever they wanted to do against the defense. But offensively, they're basically – well, Moore did well, but with Metcalf out, it's a hole there. So I don't know how long he's going to be out for. I know it's just hamstring, but – I don't see them. I don't know. I don't see them doing too much, making much noise now.
So statistically, they're actually in a three-way tie for third best defense, fantasy points wise.
I couldn't believe that. I know.
However, the caveat to that is they've played two garbage teams. So I would take that with a grain of salt. They will move down the rankings once they start playing some tougher teams.
Well, I'm not sorry to cut you off, but so last week on the podcast, I was pushing the Saints, which the Panthers really beat up the Saints, but half of the Saints had COVID. So do you really count that game? There was a lot of missing coaches, missing players. Jameis, he didn't show up. It was 26-7. The first week they played the Jets score, it was 19-14. Is this a team that we should be worried about?
I think that they'll go 500. I think McCaffrey with the hamstring injury should be out 4 weeks with a hamstring injury. They're probably going to push him back in 2 weeks. He'll probably play maybe a game. And then he's gonna have, and then he's gonna get re-injured, and then he's gonna have to sit it out for probably 4 to 6 weeks. So, if you're a McCaffrey owner, you should be very worried right now because they're gonna push him back from the hamstring because they need him so much. You know,
he does everything. He does everything on that team, and that's So when they have Hubbard, I believe Hubbard was from Oklahoma State. It was a running back that I really, really liked last year. He's a rookie, and they have Freeman. So I don't know.
I thought about this morning when I was reading about the game last night is week one, you were absolutely right about McCaffrey. You called it that he wouldn't stay healthy the whole season. And it's only three games in, he's got a hamstring issue. And that's big for people that need to run, especially people that need to be explosive. Like, it really limits your explosive ability, which that's where he lives. So this hurts him big time. He probably wouldn't be 100% for like 4 to 6 weeks.
I'm with you. So do you want to move on with our NFL week three picks?
Yeah, so up first, we got Washington at Buffalo. Washington is getting 7.5 points. Is Fitzpatrick going to be in this game?
No, Heineken's going to be in this game. And he's been passing a ton. I think last week he had 45 passing attempts or something. So they're not using Gibson all that much. Who do you use in this game on the Washington side offensively? I like I wouldn't use Gibson, first of all. I wouldn't. Heineke, I might. McLaurin, you have to use. Thomas, you have to use. McLaurin's leading with 15 receptions, 18 targets. Defensively, I like Washington's defense, but I just think that Buffalo is going to be too much this week. Buffalo came out and after the loss to Pitt, they kind of beat up on Miami. You know, and Buffalo's defense is only allowing 185 passing yards. Washington's allowing 293. So on the other side of the ball, I would use Gabriel Davis with Buffalo. I always use him. I would definitely use Diggs. I like the tight end. Knox for a little sleep. I didn't look how much he was going to be on FanDuel, but Knox is a good use. Beasley, I would use all their wide receivers. The running back situation, you don't know, like Zach Moss last week, he had two touchdowns. They were more like goal line garbage touchdowns. So I like Buffalo -7 because it's at Buffalo. Washington's 0-2 on the road. So I take Buffalo -7 and use the majority of their offense in daily fantasy and weekly fantasy.
I agree. I like McLaurin here. I don't like any running backs. I think my favorite spot start here for DFS is probably Gabriel Davis in the flex spot because he's 4,900.
They throw to him a lot.
Yeah, so that's probably my favorite play here in this game. Okay, so next we got Indy at Tennessee. Indy's getting 5.5. The over-under is 48, and it's moving down. Is Wentz going to be in?
No, for Indiana? Eason. I forgot. For Buffalo, it started off at 9.5 and moved to 7. I like the over in Buffalo, but let's move back on to Tennessee. Last week, Indy played the Rams really tough. At one point, Indy was winning. That's when Wentz was in. Then in comes Jacob Eason, which I don't know. He came in. He came in and threw interceptions. They're not going to be able to win with this guy. So they're using Hundley? Oh, Brett Hundley. Didn't he play for the Green Bay Packers, I think?
He might have been the backup there behind Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. So this is the game that, remember week one, we talked Tannehill, and Julio Jones, and a host of others. This is the week that it's going to happen. They had a great week last week against Arizona, a late victory. But I think this is the week it's going to happen. Play Henry, play Brown, Antonio Brown, A.J. Brown, play Julio Jones, play Frisker, play their defense, because the Colts aren't going to be able to do much. They're not going to get 10. So I like Tennessee -5.5. And I see this game. Tennessee's going to have to score points, which they can. I see this game again being an over.
So Derrick Henry just went absolutely off. I mean, he touched the ball 41 times in that game, which is
crazy.
Unheard of for anyone besides the quarterback. He's going to be owned heavily in this game. He will score a lot. Just don't expect him to score 44.5 fantasy points back to back, just because that's like unconscious. On the Indy side, Pascal, how do you pronounce it?
Pascal.
So he's probably the best wide receiver option on the Indy side. I talked about in week one, like waiting to see who steps up here. And, you know, he has double-digit targets on the season, double-digit points in both games, three touchdowns in two games. So he's only 5,300. Tennessee, because they got lit up in week one, they're actually 32nd opponent ranked against the position right now. That'll change a little bit. But I like him there for Indy, especially at that 5,300 price. And then target-wise, A.J. Brown is getting more targets than Julio Jones. He dropped a lot or didn't catch a lot in the game against Seattle, which led to Julio Jones having slightly more fantasy points per game than him. But the target share is leaning towards Brown right now. So
I think it's going to switch, though, because later, and the stats don't say when more targets went to who, but late in that game, he went to Julio Jones. He kept going to Julio Jones.
Julio Jones also getting the deeper passes. At least that's what the stats show. But yeah, those are the guys I like. Tennessee guys, I mean, those top three, they're going to be pretty highly owned. But Pascal, he might not be, and he has that 5,300 price there.
There you go. So week three, before we get into the next game, it's kind of an odd week. Week one, you know, like Jameis Winston went off, and it's like, do you believe it yet? So week two, you kind of see, and he didn't do much. So when you walk into week three, it's kind of like, all right, here's the truth. This is how it really happened. And so that's what we should see this week. All right, you want to move on?
Yeah, also in that game, I do like Tennessee -5.5. I think Tennessee, I think they win by more than a touchdown in this game.
Nice.
So next we have Atlanta at New York Giants. Atlanta is getting 3 in this game, which if you would have said that like week one or last season, that would be very surprising. Both teams are 0-2. The over-under is 47.5. I like the Giants in this.
I like the Giants too. Here's the problem with Atlanta. They play to who they play against. And we say that about a lot of teams. And like last week, they showed up and they played a great game against Tampa. Week one, who did they play week one? They played Philly, and we thought it was going to be a shootout. Matt Ryan would have a big game. He didn't do anything. This week, I think they're going to play down to the Giants. I think the Giants beat them, but I don't think the Giants cover. But one particular note, Barkley is only $6,000. I think this is a game where he breaks out. So, like, again, like, Henry's going to be, what, $10,000, whatever. For $6,000, I think Barkley is a good move here. Wide receiver-wise for the Giants, I like Slayton. He was open all day last Monday night, and he just, you know, he dropped a big pass. But I like Slayton. Shepherd gets his big share of targets always. Last game, 10 targets, 9 receptions. That was huge. On Atlanta's side, I'm not going to put – Patterson's been doing a lot for 59. Maybe put Patterson in a flex because they use him for everything.
Wait, but, can you put Patterson in a running back spot?
Yes, he's listed as a wide receiver.
You can put him in FanDuel. You can put Patterson into a running back spot, which could allow you to do something sneaky because he's only 5,900.
Yes. But with the Giants 25th against the pass, their pass rush isn't bad, but you're going against Ryan. I don't know. Do you play Ridley? I don't know. But I think out of this game, I like the Giants will win, but I like Atlanta covering, and I think it's going to be an under game. A lot of turnovers. So maybe you play defenses in there. I don't know.
So I really like Shepard and Barkley in this game. I am going to find a way in at least one of my lineups to put these guys in there. And on the Atlanta side, my man Cordarrelle Patterson, I've been talking about him for what, like 6 years now?
Yeah.
7 years. He's finally starting to score some points here. It might just be a one-off, but I've always been a fan of this guy. Hopefully they keep using him. I think the Giants win here too.
Think they cover?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I think it's just going to be a close game with points, and I just don't see them covering, but I see them winning.
One other thing about the Atlanta defense, reason why I do like a few Giants players this week, is the Atlanta defense is giving up more points or has given up more points than any other team this year, and it's not even close. Their deficit of what they've scored versus what they've given up almost doubles the next worst team.
They're awful. All
right, so up next, we got Baltimore at Detroit. Baltimore is -8. The over-under is 50. Baltimore is favored very heavily in this game.
Well, Lamar Jackson's sick. That doesn't mean he's not going to play. He probably will play, which would be a threat for Detroit. Detroit, they have some size. They went into Green Bay last week, and Cephas is his name. Cephas, he catches a lot of passes from Goff. Goff's going to have big numbers. Last first week one against a stiff San Francisco defense, he had 30 fantasy points. Last week he had 20 on 36 pass attempts. Baltimore defense isn't what they used to be, but I just think they're going to definitely win. Again, I like Cephas 5,300. He's going to catch passes. Baltimore isn't good against the pass. They're actually ranked towards the bottom of the league. So on Baltimore's side, of course, Lamar Jackson, if he's playing. Sammy Watkins, if he's playing. Well, he'll be playing. And Andrews. You got Hockenson, too, at tight end. So I'm probably playing both tight ends in different lineups with Lamar Jackson. And Baltimore really doesn't throw the ball much. So there's no wide receivers for them besides Watkins I'm looking at. I like this game. This game will be an over game. And Baltimore will cover -8.
All right. So I feel bad for Detroit if you look at how their schedule had to start versus how Carolina's schedule had to start. Just kind of adds insult to injury for Goff. But there have been some surprising bright spots on Detroit. So Hockenson is actually he's the third most targeted tight end right now in the league. He's got 20 targets through two games. He's only 6,300. I'm going to put him in at least one lineup this Sunday. Marquise Brown is, he's got an ankle problem, but he did participate in practice today. And he's come off two big games. Mm-hmm. He's kind of touchdown dependent though. If he doesn't get that touchdown, it's not going to be worth playing him. And then another guy that I really like is Swift. I'm surprised that his price is 7,400, just because he doesn't have that, you know, that big name recognition. But he's actually getting a ton of his carries are not great. You know, he's getting around 10 per game. But in the first week, he had 11 targets through the air on top of the 11 runs. So they're Goff's dumping the ball off to him, you know, quite a bit. So especially if you're in like a PPR or half PPR, I think that he's a really good play. What's FanDuel? It's half PPR, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's half PPR. So he does get a boost there. That's like 11 targets, like an extra 5 points. So those are the guys that I like from this game. Probably not much else outside of that. How do you see this game going? Did you already say that I wasn't listening?
Yeah. I said, I like Baltimore covering and I like it over. But we talked earlier, and if you listen to the show, you know I'm a Rams fan. Goff loves to throw to his tight ends and running back. So
I guess that makes sense because those are the two guys I just talked about, you know, having double-digit targets. Oh, Carl is coming to see the podcast.
I saw Carl getting down. It kind of freaked me out.
Okay, so up next we have Arizona at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's getting 7.5.
I was trying to hit the cat sound and I hit the truck.
I was wondering what that was. The over-under is 51.5. Arizona should just absolutely destroy Jacksonville in this game.
And that's what I was going to say. Whatever Arizona, just use them all. Their defense is hot, you know. Just Trevor Lawrence isn't doing bad, but he's going against a stout NFC West defense. You know, you got Kyler Murray. You have Green, Hopkins, Kirk. Just use whoever on Arizona and stay away from Jacksonville. That's it. That was easy.
Yeah,
I like the under in this game because I think Arizona will score all of the points and they will cover.
So, would you use an Arizona running back in this game? Would you use Chase Edmonds?
It's scary because they haven't really been running the ball. Chase Edmonds in two games only has 20 rushing attempts. In two games, Connor has 24. You could because you know after the team still passed the ball and they're up. I don't know. It's tough seeing that Arizona is the 25th. You know the defense is ranked 25th with the rush. I don't know. Maybe sneaking a running back.
I mean,
I would use Connor though.
If there's a week where an Arizona running back should go off, it should be this week.
Yeah.
So it might be worth sneaking Edmonds or Connor into that flex spot because they should be up.
I would go with Connor, though, on that one.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they should run the ball basically the whole second half. And you're right. I mean, if Connor is the second in line and they're up big, he should get the touches there. Okay. So next we got Chargers at Kansas City. Kansas City is -7, which after last week, I'm scared now.
I would be scared if you were a Chargers fan. They're going to come back. Andy Reid is going to come back. They're going to score fast. They're going to score often. Their defense is going to be on the ball. Same thing here. KC players use him. Edwards-Hilaire, they're talking negative about him. He has to have a breakout game. I think his breakout game comes here. The Chargers side, fantasy-wise, I wouldn't play anyone because I just think I think this game at KC is going to be a romp. I'm taking KC -7 and over.
Okay. Crazy fact about, so Kelsey is leading fantasy points for the position players at KC, excluding quarterback play. So he's out producing Hill, and he's priced less than Hill by 200. So that's kind of crazy. He's averaging 21.5 per game. I definitely will have Kelsey in one or two lineups here. Possibly Hill, but I don't know if I like the price. But there's someone from the Charger side I really like here, and I'll probably play in one or two lineups is Mike Williams. He's only 6,000. The Chargers are going to have to throw the ball. They're probably going to throw a ton. He's had between the two games 22 targets, and hasn't scored less than 18 fantasy points in either game. So Mike Williams is coming on as the guy that everyone thought he would be when he came into the league. You know, it's taken him, what, like 4 years? 4 years or
Yeah,
so?
he's injury prone now. I just think Hebert's going to be running constantly. It's just, I don't know. I think KC's going to come out and they really defensively, both sides of the ball, they have to prove something. But I do like Mike Williams.
I like Mike Williams here on the Charger side. I feel like the Chiefs, even if they do get up in the first half and score quickly, their defense just gives up so much to other teams. You know, they just get scored on, it seems like, way too easily.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like Mike Williams, especially for that price point. Kelsey's just, it's hard to look another direction than him when he's putting up those kind of points.
There you
But
go.
I think Chiefs win, but I don't think they cover.
Okay, we disagree. That's the whole part of the show.
All right, so next we have Chicago at Cleveland. Chicago's getting 7.5. The over-under is 45. Both teams are 1-1 here, just like the last one.
So here's the problem with this game. Justin Fields, it's not a problem, but everybody wanted Justin Fields to come out and start. Now he's out and start because Dalton's hurt. He's going against a good Cleveland defense. I think this is a good coming out party for him. Would I use him this week? No, I would use Baker Mayfield. Still, this is going to be a tight game. Chicago's defense is really good. Running back wise, maybe Chubb. I don't see a lot of fantasy points coming out of this game. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not using anyone. How's that? And I'm going with Cleveland. I'm going under, and I'm going Chicago plus 7.5.
This is
And Odell Beckham's coming back.
this is a rare time that I completely agree with everything you said. Not playing anyone, and I see the game going exactly the same way.
Right?
Or
It's
yeah,
just defensive battle.
there's not a lot of fantasy points in here. I'm not starting anyone in DFS. All right, so up next we got New Orleans at New England, both the new teams. New Orleans is getting 3. Over/under is 42.5. I think this is going to be another defensive battle.
So I saw New Orleans bus coming in today. They had stopped all the traffic. State troopers brought him in. I wanted to say to Winston, like, which Winston are you going to be? I wanted to stop the bus and ask him which Winston's he going to be, because we don't know. He could be six touchdown. He could be six interception. Again, it's a week like that. From what I've seen with New England, even though they won last week against the Jets, I've seen minor flaws, and one was with their rushing. Oh, my headphones are dying. It was with their rushing attack. Really, really, think that the New England defense see holes. Like a guy like Kamara is going to run through that team. I like Kamara. On the New England side of the ball, you have to try Harris. Last week, he had 16 rushing attempts, 62 rushing yards against, he didn't reach the end zone, but against the Jets. He has to do better this week. Again, I don't know what Sheeman's going to show up, so it's tough to play who. Last week, I know the majority of the team had COVID, but this week, I'll take them with the points. I think they're going to beat New England outright, and I think their defense will shut New England down.
I agree. I think New England wins this game. The only player that I'll probably use in a flex spot here, though, is James White, because he gets the targets. Yeah, he gets the little dump offs. And sometimes, you know, those can go for 20, 30 yards into the end zone. So I think he's kind of, for the money, probably got the highest upside here. Kamara's probably going to have a turnaround from last week. But I don't like the high price tag on him. For $8,000, I need to see a little more upside. But yeah, James White's really the only guy I'm going with here.
There you go.
So next we got Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Cincinnati's getting 3. Over-under is 43. Another low over-under here. Both teams also 1-1.
This is another game, like we said. It's just tough. It's going to be a defensive battle. Both offenses look so-so. Nothing stunning from either row. I like Burrow week one, though. He did look good against Minnesota, but last week he really tanked against Chicago. I don't know what to expect here. I think it's going to be an under game. 43 isn't a lot of points. They're playing in Pitt. This is a rival, and I believe Cincinnati was the team that beat Pitt last year when Pitt was undefeated. Fantasy-wise, man, this is tough, man.
So you got Higgins doubtful, which means if it's Friday and he's doubtful, that means he's not playing. So that opens up targets for Jamar Chase, who is actually between wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs between both teams. He's leading everybody and only priced at 5,900 this week.
Yeah, and they throw to him a lot, and I have Chase in my weekly fantasy, and I really like Chase. It's just Pitt's defense is good. Is he going to be able to get the ball off to Chase? So for daily fantasy, DFS, I don't know. I might play a Claypool or Juju on the other side of the ball, but as much as I like Chase and I've been playing him for the first 2 weeks, I'm not going to really touch Cincinnati players in this game. And I like Pitt -3, and I like the under.
Okay. So because Higgins, I think, will be out, I'm going to put Chase in lineups, especially because of his price. He's only 5,900. I would shy away from Mixon this week. I'm not going to put him in anything. I'm going to shy away from Harris. I don't really like his price point of 7,500, and I don't think a lot of points are going to be scored. But something on the other side, so you have Deontay Johnson is out this week for Pittsburgh. So that really gives a boost to Smith-Schuster. You can't say that five times fast.
A boost
to Smith-Schuster and to Claypool. So they're both getting kind of similar numbers, but I see Claypool stepping up more into the Deontay Johnson role. He hasn't had a huge breakout game. I mean, we're only two games into the season, but he's 5,800, and I think this could be a game where you could see him put up those crazy numbers like he did twice last season. You remember there was one game where he scored like 3 touchdowns?
Yeah.
So I like Claypool, and I like Chase here. Those are the two guys I want from this game.
This next one's going to be easy.
All right, so next we got...
Play everyone from Denver.
Jets at Denver, 41.5 over under. Denver is giving up 10.5 points, which is, you know, like we always say, double digits in the NFL is kind of crazy.
But this week it's not. The Jets stink. They don't have anyone. I know you have a best friend that's a Jets fan. I'm sorry I'm offending him. But use everyone from Denver. This will be 41.5. It's going to be a one-sided game. Bridgewater isn't a guy with big numbers. So he wouldn't. It's a guy I wouldn't use. I would use Gordon, Sutton. their wide receivers. I wouldn't use Bridgewater, but I use their wide receivers because they're low, low money. Take Denver minus 10.5.
So in under. I'm surprised that you didn't say sorry for – we disagreed week one about – remember the Jets went to Carolina?
Yeah.
And I said, play the Carolina defense. They're going to stop the Jets.
Yeah.
And somebody was saying, oh, I think the Jets might be good this year.
I saw them in preseason, and they have good names, but they just play Denver, man. We can't backtrack.
So I'm really mad at Corey Davis. So I played him week one, and he got, 24.2. I had him in like one or two lineups. And so last week, even though I wasn't on the show, I still played DFS, and he screwed me. I'm never playing Corey Davis again. It was in a lineup where I had really good other players, but he basically got no points with 1.8. So I'm not going to forgive him for that. Melvin Gordon looks like the clear play here. I'm surprised that Javonte Williams hasn't put up better numbers. It's not really great for him considering he has got a chance to touch the ball quite a bit, 13 mm-hmm. and 14 times. But Melvin Gordon is putting up the numbers. He should get, at least a touchdown in this game. And he's only $6,000. So that's another good point to this is, he's almost guaranteed to put up at least 15 points in this game. And that's a good price.
There you go.
All right. So up next, we got Miami at the Raiders. Miami is getting 3.5. Over under is 44. The Raiders, who I hate, are sitting on top of their division at 2-0.
Yeah. And believe it or not, Derek Carr is the leading passer in the NFL right now. Believe it or not.
I don't want to
believe. But here we go. Tagalula's out. And here's the thing I didn't understand. Is I know what people say about Cam Newton. He should be employed with all these quarterbacks that are out and the options that they're using right now. Why not bring in a guy who has experience, who was the league MVP at one point? So I just don't understand it. But be as it may, you got Brissett, who isn't a bad quarterback. Jacoby Brissett will be starting this week. I just think the Raiders are gonna definitely win. I've never picked these many favorites in my life, but Buffalo beat Miami up last week, and I just think that they're still gonna be beat up. And I like Carr. I don't know if Jacobs will be back. Jacobs is doubtful, so he probably wouldn't play. So you have a good options with Drake and Drake only – wow, they're passing the ball. Only option that we use in running back is Drake because they're passing the ball a ton here. So you got Ruggs. You got Renfro, who I love, 5,100, 7 receptions in against Pitt, 9 receptions – 9 targets against Baltimore. So they are throwing to him. He's more of a slot guy. Zay Jones, 4,900. They didn't throw to him against Pitt last week, but in Baltimore, he scored the winning touchdown. So those are guys that I would use. And the highest amount for like Ruggs, 5,600, definitely use him. On Miami side, I don't doubt Brissett. He's come through in Indy, and he's trained under Brady. But I just don't think it's this week.
So I normally really like Waller. He's 7,400 this week.
Oh, I forgot about him. Yes, play Waller. I'm sorry.
Waller, he should get, his 10 targets this game. I just don't know. They're not really going to need him this game. I like to play him when they need to throw the ball downfield and they're, in a tough matchup. I like him a lot. Here, they might use some other options. So I won't start him in DFS this week. He's going to have a decent floor, though. On the Miami side, Will Fuller should be playing his first game of the season for Miami. He was out with a suspension the first week. Last week, They didn't disclose why he was out. Maybe he was at Disneyland or something. Who knows? But he ended last season with some big, big games. So he's only 5,500. So if you want to take a real deep shot this week with your DFS lineup, throw him into a cheap wide receiver spot or a flex, and it'll kind of be a boom or bust option this week for you.
But I just see Miami trying to be conservative here with Brissett. So I don't know. It's always worth a shot.
All right. So up next, we got Seattle at Minnesota. Minnesota's getting 2. Over-under is 55. Almost the highest of the week. One of the highest.
That's going to be an over game. I can see myself stacking both lineups. Wide receivers, you got Lockett, who's killing it. Average first 2 weeks, 25 fantasy points, 16 targets in 2 games. You got Thielen, same thing. He's crushing it. Average 20 fantasy points. Jefferson, Metcalf. When a guy I do like, he's 5,100, and he's leading the Vikings in receiving, is Osborne. Really, really good sure hands. This guy's always open. They always throw to him. You know, he misses him because it's a course. But I like Osborne in this game. Running back-wise, Cook's questionable. They'll probably play his ankle. I'm going to go straight wide receivers in this. I'm not going to spend $9,500 on Cook. You just never know what he's going to do. I know Henry had a big, big week against Seattle's defense. I don't know what Cook. He can get hurt by sneezing. So definitely play all the wide receivers in this game. Russell Wilson's a good option in this game. Leave the defenses out. Do not play any of the defenses. And I like Seattle covering again. Wow, I'm picking all the favorites, man. I like Seattle covering, and I like the over.
All right. So in this one, it'll be the first quarterback I talk about today. I do like Russell Wilson in this matchup. And because of that, I like Lockett and Metcalf. Lockett, we talked in week one about who's going to be the one to go off. I mean, Metcalf's getting the targets. Lockett has definitely, kind of matched him in targets, but he's getting the touchdowns over Metcalf. But, I mean, you could easily play both of them. I mean, not easily. You'd have to find some other cheap players somewhere else. But that's not a bad stack at all. And then on the Minnesota side, I like you said, Thielen and Osborne. Jefferson, I think, is a little too high-priced here at 7,400. I would like him if he was closer to 6,000. No running backs in this one for me. I just don't like
– I just don't trust Cook. And I know if you look at last week, I played a running back playing against Seattle. I just don't trust Cook, man.
Yeah,
trust his cooking.
He's got a decent floor, but not for that price tag. Not for $9,500, and especially not with a questionable tag. Like, I'm not going to spend $9,500 for someone who might come out of the game on the first drive.
Let's go with this next game because I'm not going with your favorite.
All right, so next we have Tampa Bay at your Rams. Rams are getting 1, over-under is 55.5. So this is going to be a great 425 game. So the NFL, a quick aside here real quick, whoever made the schedules actually did a decent job this week with the late games. All three of them should be amazing, good games to watch.
All three should be, even with Miami, could be playoff. You know, we can see these teams in the playoffs. Whoever made the schedule,
I said, I wasn't talking about that game.
But whoever made the schedule kind of fell asleep of the Jets. They're not making it. They fell asleep for the Thursday night game. They weren't paying attention. But this is going to be a great game. Both sides of the ball. The Rams defense last week, to me, didn't do well against the Colts, but they're still a good defense. They beat Tampa Bay last year. during the season. Brady's going to do his thing. Gronk's going to do his thing. Antonio Brown is out, which they have so many wide receivers coming behind him. I don't think he's going to make a difference. Stafford kind of last week, he had some signs of the old Stafford. But more than anything, DFS-wise, I believe Henderson might not play. So Sony Michel, running back, I would use him. Wide receivers, I use all them. This is a tough game, man. But Evans, do you use Evans on Tampa Bay? Yeah, I use all the wide receivers. What was I going to say? Oh, Cooper Kupp's coming off a huge, huge, huge game. 32 fantasy points. That's one guy you have to use. Put him in your lineup. He'll have a big day. I like the Rams here, and I like the over.
So, Robert Woods, I've used this guy for years in fantasy, and he might finally be getting old. however, because he's had, two games right around 10 points, both games. They might go to him more this game because you could see Tampa Bay try and limit Kupp because Kupp's just been on fire to start the season. So in this game, I actually like both quarterbacks. I think both of them are a good play in DFS this week. I think that this game is going to go through the air, probably not a lot on the ground for either one of these teams, but I do think a lot of points will be scored. So on the Rams side, I like Kupp and I like Woods. Wouldn't mind a stack there with Stafford. And then on the other side, I could see doing a Brady Gronk Godwin or Brady Gronk Evans stack. And I think doing either one of those, could get you a lot of fantasy points by doing that.
Yes, and going back to what you were saying about Kupp. And my headphones are at 5%. I think a lot of Kupp's getting Woods receptions, and I just think Cooper Kupp's open all the time, and that comes. So what you're seeing in defenses now in the NFL, you know, if you go back 15, 20 years, you would say what? What are they doing? They're calling it the hybrid defense. Like they're showing up, we're gonna play you man, and the guys are bailing out into cover three. I think the defense, they're trying to confuse the offense so much that they're confusing themselves. And you're starting to see this in the NFL, and there's a lot of guys open. Like Slayton last Monday night against Washington, Slayton was open the whole entire game. He just was dropping the ball, or they wouldn't throw to him. But I think the defenses are trying to do so much that the slot guys are constantly open because of that. And this is going to be an example of Cooper Kupp. Osborne from Minnesota, guys like that, Beasley, guys like that are going to constantly be open. Those are the guys that you're going to see grab those big points because of that, the hybrid defense. All right, we got to move on before my headphones shut off.
All right, so that's it for the main slate. Now we got the late game, Green Bay at San Francisco. Green Bay is getting 3. Over and under is 50 on this.
Wow. So what happened was everyone panicked. When Green Bay got destroyed week one, they came back week two, where they got destroyed by New Orleans and Watson, but they came back week two and they had a good game. I think that's the Green Bay we're going to see for the rest of the year. San Fran, they come, they have a great defense. They play well, but I don't expect them to show up like that again on Monday night. I think that, I like Green Bay plus – I like Green Bay winning outright on this. So my five-man, you always got to put Aaron Jones or Rodgers. Those will probably be the leaders, and I'll mix it in with Debo. Debo's having a good year. He's not doing bad. But I just don't think that San Fran's going to win Monday or cover. So I look at – I'm thinking over in Green Bay.
All right. And then the Monday night game – we got Philly at Dallas. Philly's getting 3.5. Over-under is 51.5. What do you think on this game?
It's going to be a tough game to watch. But I think over, definitely over. And I like Philly getting 3.5.
Really? Okay. So, statistically, I really like what Dallas is doing passing the ball this year. CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper are both in the top, I believe, top five or top six for targets. So that means that those guys are getting a ton of options or chances to score fantasy points. I like both of those guys. And Pollard is actually getting more run than Ezekiel Elliott this year.
I like Pollard, and he's. I said this in week one. This is going to be the guy. It's the 20. They're really, really leaning towards him. I wouldn't be surprised that we see Zeke on a block soon, and he's not going to be eating. He's going to have a cup of begging for a team to get him. Tony Pollard's running, man. That's the guy. I really like Pollard. You ready for the lineup before I run out?
Yeah, give me your lineup. I haven't made one yet.
All right, so I'm going to do lineups, and I will do college football for Saturday. I'll give you guys some picks. Are you going to do a lineup too or no?
I haven't made one yet. Maybe I'll throw one on the website. You know what? Yeah, I'll throw one up on the
Oh, sure.
website Sunday morning. Is it what are
Have you
we
been on
still?
a website? We got to fix it. I haven't been
No, is
on
it even still up on the internet?
it. Yeah, I was like, shoot, I got to fix it. I'm going to have time to do it, man. I've been so swamped.
Right,
So I'm
so
going to
if the
go with
website gets fixed, I'll put one up Sunday morning.
you know how to get into the website and fix it. It's not broken.
I'll see if it's still on the internet.
All right, it is. So for my quarterback, believe it or not, and you can laugh at me, I'm going to play Daniel Jones. The reason being 7,400. He's going to score a lot of points in this game, and I just like him this week for some reason. Not dislike, I just like.
I thought you
So
said
I'm going to go
dislike.
with I'm going to go with Tyson Williams from Baltimore. Guy's pretty good. They hand him the ball. He's a practice team player. I'm going to stick in Saquon for 6 grand. I know he hasn't produced the numbers, but he still has the, as you say, the ceiling to do so. And then I'm going to go with Hopkins. He's been crushing it. 23 fantasy points last week, 13 this week. I think he's going to have a big game. Then you got to stick in Cooper Kupp. And then KJ Osborne at my wide receiver three. Then I got to go with Waller the Baller. Then in my flex, I'm going with Melvin Gordon. I expect him to have a huge day. Then I'm going to round it out with Broncos D.
Nice. That's a good lineup. You're going heavy on Broncos and Giants.
Yeah, you have
You're
to.
all in on them this week.
Yep. So for college football, 12 o'clock, I like BC getting 1.5 over Missouri. I love North Carolina State getting 10 at Clemson. Clemson's not looking like that what they used to be. And give me Purdue minus 11 at Illinois. And my last pick, remember I used to do the big dog pick? I got to start that up. We're going to be doing that soon. Is North Carolina covering at Georgia Tech?
Yeah, but it's not the same without the sound effects.
We'll have that back next week with our website. So, what do you say, Ground?
Thanks for listening. Thanks for having me.
You're the best, and you're back. You're not. No one kidnapped you. There
I escaped.
you go. We'll see you guys next week. Let us know on Twitter what you think about our picks, only if they're good. And I want to thank everyone for listening. Our audience has grown, really. We were talking about it earlier, and I really appreciate it. Keep listening. We love you guys. We love you listening. Take care. We're out of here.
Peace.
Thank you.